The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, can people still hear God speak today? Well, according to Oprah Winfrey, they can. Oprah says she will run for president if God tells her to. As you know, the subject of her running had already come up a while ago, long before God was dragged into the conversation. In fact, a few weeks ago, I went on Facebook and I wrote the following. Personally, I think Oprah is planning to run for president. What do I base that on? The fact that she says she isn't. Yes, folks, the more people talk about not running, the more they go out of their way to remind us that they're not running, the more you can bet your bottom dollar that they plan to do just exactly that. Usually, we hear some platitude such as, I'll do it only if called upon by the American people. In Oprah's case, she claims she'll do it only if called upon by God. Yes, indeed. Oprah says she will run for president if God tells her to. This might cause some confusion for one of Oprah's biggest fans, Joy Behar, who is now on record saying that hearing from God is a sign of mental illness. But of course, this is just one of several hot topics in the news. We're still in the aftermath of that horrible Florida high school shooting. Ironically, while Sheriff Israel argues against the NRA, he is the greatest argument for the NRA. Just look at the crackerjack job he and his men did protecting the high school students. Welcome to Broward County Sheriff Department, or should we say Coward County Sheriff Department? Oh, wait, I forgot, almost forgot. Sheriff Israel gave the department amazing leadership. Amazing leadership. How do we know? Why, he said so himself, silly. That's how we know. And now let me introduce you to a man who truly gives amazing leadership without tooting his own horn. Say hello to rotating co-host Jim Barrier.
Hey, Bob. I always look forward to being on your show, and there is so much to cover this week, and we'll do what we can. But I'd like to just linger, because I know we'll get a commercial break here pretty soon, on your opening thing about Oprah and hearing from God, and then, you know, Joy Behar and, you know, her comment about mental illness in relationship to the vice president.
Right.
And there's a few things. First of all, just at face value, people who claim to have heard from God. Well, there's Abraham, there's Moses. Those are two important people in the Jewish faith. There's Jesus and Paul the Apostle. They're pretty important people to the Christian faith. And I suppose, you know, just about any religion, you know, Muhammad heard from God, Brigham Young heard from God. And so, Joy, you just alienated yourself from anybody who believes in any faith.
Well, Jesus told Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but from my Father in heaven. In fact, to say the Bible is the word of God is to assume that God spoke at a certain time in history. So when people say, well, it's okay to believe in Christianity, but you're just not going to hear God speak. Well, what exactly do they mean, believe in Christianity? They obviously haven't thought about it. And why would God be able to speak in the past and not continue to speak in the present?
Exactly. And for that matter, you know, I've done a lot of classes and seminars about how to hear the voice of God. I would love for Joy to attend one of those someday. I don't think she'll sign up. And what is left out of that whole conversation in mainstream media is most Christians don't claim to have heard an audible voice. I don't think Mike Pence was claiming to hear an audible voice, but we read the scriptures and we believe that that's God's way of imparting wisdom to us. And we get godly counsel. You listen to people who have had years in the faith and have wisdom and demonstrated character in their walk. And so we feel that God can talk to us through those means. Sometimes he can talk to us through circumstances. There's so many different ways that God speaks to us. I have never, in almost 50 years, August will be 50 years, that I hope will have been a follower of Christ, which started, by the way, at Skyline Church, who hopefully you'll mention later in the show. And I've never heard an audible voice, but I guarantee you, God has communicated with me countless times through various methods, some that I just mentioned.
Well, and primarily so, in the Bible, they were talking about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, living inside of us and passing his thoughts through our thoughts.
Yeah.
And there are
ways
to discern if the thoughts are coming from him. However, God did speak through an audible voice in both the Old and the New Testament at times. He can continue to do that today. I agree that that's not the most common way, but he could. And if that happened, that would not mean that the person is crazy.
No, and I have personal friends who have had that experience, not a lot of them and not very often, but pretty remarkable and life-changing events, which is usually the case. So I just think that it wasn't fair treatment. Of course, you know, people jumped all over. Even Fox News ran a story about the whole thing, but they tend to assume that God speaking to us means this booming audible voice or a flaming bush or some sort of crazy epiphany. And I'm just saying that for most of the people of faith that I have known, they would say, yes, God does speak to me, but they would not say that it's in that dramatic of a fashion.
Yeah, and yet if somebody wants to criticize that dramatic of a fashion, they're criticizing most of the ways that we did see God talk to people in the Bible.
Yeah. Without a doubt. So I just wanted to just kind of tag along on that. And by the way, I know you're a big movie buff, and I know you like the musicals. And wasn't Fiddler on the Roof about a man having conversations with God?
Oh, you bet. I know we are the chosen people, but once in a while, couldn't you choose somebody else?
Exactly. One of my favorites. So
wonderful movie.
Yeah, and I thought we would take a little time because it is Oscar night.
It is Oscar night, and it's funny, Jim. Lately, you've joined us. Every time you've joined us, it's been on an awards night. Now the awards are always on Sundays anyway, but we haven't planned. You know, you only come on one Sunday a month, but you've hit tonight the Academy Awards. You've hit the night of the Golden Globes. You've hit the night of the Super Bowl, which of course ends with an award.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm willing to just take that as God speaking to us.
That's God confirming. And Jim, your sacrifice to give up the Academy Awards to come on the show will not go unnoted. We'll be right back.
Call Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
The sound more beautiful.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. And if you're listening to me right now, it can only mean you're not watching the Academy Awards. I can only imagine what we're missing. Gee, I wonder if any of the presenters or recipients at the Oscars will be brave enough and original enough to make some jokes about Donald Trump and also spend time slamming the NRA. I just can't imagine. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
You don't think that would happen, do you?
Oh, no.
And I want to applaud all of our listeners who decided to give up watching the Oscars. And trust me, we have an hour show here. The Oscars will go on and on.
Oh, yeah, it's not like it won't still be on when we're over.
Now, I want to ask you this, Bob, because we're on this theme. I know you love the musicals, and you use a lot of great music on your show. What is your single favorite musical soundtrack?
Well, you know, my favorite musical and my favorite musical soundtrack are not exactly the same. My favorite musical movie of all time, and that's because of the music and the story and the scenery put together, is The Sound of Music. That just has everything. It's got it's a fantastic adventure. It's got has a good message. It's funny. It's romantic. My favorite soundtrack, I would say, maybe West Side Story. Leonard Bernstein just did an ingenious job with that, and we play a few of those pieces on the air. But you know, he had the jazz, and then he had Latino type music, and then he had beautiful sweet melodies. I think the score to Phantom of the Opera is just phenomenal. But see, Jim, I wouldn't say those are my favorite stories. And when I think of the musical as an integrated whole, I wanted to just say this, I would put those soundtracks on before I'd put on The Sound of Music. But I would watch the Sound of Music movie again before I would watch those movies again. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I would, you know, I would have said, and now I grew up, my mother listened to all of the classical musicals, Rodgers and Hammerstein and everything. So I grew up, it's kind of twisted for a young boy. I grew up knowing all the words to South Pacific and Flower Drum Song. And all.
Well, see, that's the difference between us. If you were twisted because it was thrown upon you against your will. Yeah. I was twisted because I just liked them. Throughout high school, I was in drama. Yeah. In college, I was a drama major. I went on and got a Bible degree at seminary, but I was a drama major. That's what my undergraduate degree's in. So I've just always loved that stuff.
Yeah, and I love West Side Story. And my mom took me to the theater, and we watched West Side Story on first release. So I just had this stuff kind of, I was exposed to all of it. West Side Story is a classic. Of course, it's the modern, at that time, the modern version of Romeo and Juliet. It's a great story, great social comment, but terrific music. Now it's kind of interesting to watch when you see these tough gang members dancing around in the street, clicking their heels.
Well, you know, it doesn't look as weird. Back in the 60s, that probably looked weird. They're going gang members dancing. But we've since gone through the time of breakdancing and things like that. It does not look that weird anymore.
Well, you know, you're right. And I would agree. My favorite modern, if it's modern at this point, but I love Phantom of the Opera, and my wife and I have seen that several times because it was really a live stage production before it became a movie. But they did a great job on the film,
and that's one of our scheduled pieces for today. I should say, Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, fantastic!
Well, I love that coming up later. Yeah.
Hey, I have a recording of All I Ask of You by Cliff Richard and Sarah Brightman, two of my favorite singers ever.
The Sarah Brightman version was fantastic.
So I thought it would be fun tonight. We'll get in, folks. We're going to do some serious stuff in the second half of the hour.
Jim hopefully. And I always get serious eventually. It has to happen sooner or later.
Eventually. But I thought because it's award night, we would do some awards. And first, I want to just commend your glorious state of California.
What, do we get the stupidest state in the union award?
No. According to a study by U.S. News, California ranked dead last among quality of life in the 50 states. And I thought, well, that's something. Well, but in an attempt to make things better, Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf sent out a warning to the citizens that the ICE officials were going to be raiding the Bay Area. So just to try to make things a little better.
Yeah, wasn't that one? Did you know that in California, they've passed a law that you can steal up to $950 worth of groceries? I had the mayor of El Cajon on our show 2 weeks ago telling me this. My jaw just about dropped off on the air listening. And it's only a misdemeanor. They can call the police. The police will not arrest them. And people actually go into 7-Eleven stores with calculators. And they could do it in any store, but it was 7-Eleven owners who were complaining. So you can steal up to $950 of merchandise. All you're going to get is a ticket, and nothing will ever come of it if you don't show up in court. However, in the same wonderful state of California, if a waiter in a restaurant gives somebody a straw, there is legislation pending to put that guy in jail.
What's wrong with you people?
What's wrong with people like me that still live here would be the question.
Well, yeah, that's guilt by association or at least geographic.
Yeah, I don't know who's stupider, the people that pass these laws or the people like me that continue living here.
Well, when you say these things, and remember, folks, I live in the Lone Star State. I live in Texas, and that sounds like a fantasy. That sounds like a made-up story when you say those things. If you talk to most Texans and said that's the law out there, they'd say, what?
They'd think you're listening to Rod Serling on the Twilight Zone. Well, they say everything's bigger in Texas. I've at least come to believe that the brains are bigger in Texas.
Now, I'll tell you what it is. There's just still a little bit of a commitment to simple, common sense, moral standards. You know, those old outdated commodities. And there's still a lot of that here in Texas. So I do like it here. So here I made a little list of some of my nominations for
okay.
awards.
Sounds good.
And we'll try to squeeze some.
Well, you deserve it
here.
Since you always hit us on the award nights. You're entitled to have an award ceremony
well,
of your own.
Yeah, when you said something, I thought, well, we should do that. We should give out some awards. So here are some of mine. And if you think of some, jump in. Now, they always start the Oscars with the red carpet. And so for my award for best red carpet appearance would have to be Melania Trump. And here's why. Whenever the liberal media can't find something to criticize, they pick on her wardrobe.
Yeah, they talk about the kind of shoes she wore when they went to see the victims of the flood.
And you know, I'm old enough to at least go all the way back to Jackie Kennedy. And I remember all the first ladies. And I'm just telling you, Melania does a great job of presenting herself publicly. And so she gets the red carpet award for me. Worst comedy performance. You ready?
I'm ready.
Kathy Griffin posing with Trump's head and then saying it was just a joke.
You know, I never thought she was funny even when she was truly trying to do comedy.
No, she's pretty profane. I've never really liked her or her humor. And she lost my respect years ago when she won an award. And
what on earth did they give her an award for?
Some TV show or performance, and her basic thing was, I don't know if I can say this, but basically blanket Jesus, I won this, and this is my God, holding up the little trophy there.
Oh,
and
wow.
Just disrespected anybody who even has remote affection for Jesus. And it was just, I thought, you know, I know you're just trying to get attention. You're trying to shock people. Leave it to Howard Stern, okay?
exactly. Leave it to the ones that know how
funny,
to do it right.
Not that I listen to Howard much, but, you know.
At least Howard is original and speaks his own mind. Yeah. He's crude and he's crass. He's like a Donald Trump, actually.
And I think he has come out and said times that he respects that Trump does that. What else is Howard going to say?
Exactly. He doesn't have much room to talk, does he?
No. Best fiction fiction. Anything Jemele Hill says, I don't know if you know who she is, the sports personality from ESPN who keeps getting put on leave.
I have heard only a little bit about her, yeah.
Well, she said some goofy things like, anybody, you know, rooting for the Celtics is like rooting for Hitler.
Oh, jeez. Really? It always goes back. Whenever people don't know what else to say, they bring it back to Hitler. It's always back.
I mean,
Hitler's the default
team.
Setting.
Okay. And Trump's a white supremacist. She got in a little trouble because she encouraged fans to boycott sponsors of Dallas Cowboys games because Jerry told his players he wanted them to stand in respect of the national anthem and the flag. And she said, well, then you need to boycott all of the sponsors of the Dallas Cowboys. And so anything that Jemele Hill says, I think, falls into the fiction category.
Yeah, that is good fiction.
My special effects award goes to Russia for stealing fake news headlines.
Well, and the special effects in this bomb that Putin's talking about now that we're not able to shoot down. Of course we can't shoot it down. They can't get it into the sky. How are we going to shoot down something that they're incapable of putting up into the sky?
You know, I know that there are real threats. We're going to address North Korea in a little bit. North Korea, Russia, Syria, Iran, you know, the list goes on. But I'm not convinced that there's anybody that has better technology than the U.S. unless it's Israel. And I'm not worried about them because of that. I think they can defend themselves.
Yet on a lot of lists of worst countries in the world, Israel and the United States are toward the top.
Yeah, but when it comes to weaponry and warfare and technology, boy, we've got it. I love the line from the movie. Boy, we're on movies tonight. The movie The Right Stuff, and LBJ says, well, our Germans are better than their Germans, aren't they?
That's true. There was a real rush to confiscate the different German rocket scientists toward the end of World War II.
Yeah, well, we got the slight edge, I think. So, okay. best short subject, and that would be Kim Jong-un. That was a cheap shot, but, you know.
Well, it's okay. If you can't give a cheap shot with your best friend on his show, where can you give one?
Best performance. Impersonating a public servant by Maxine Waters.
Oh, gosh. All right. We'll have more of Jim Barry's awards when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burn down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
are here with Jim Barrier. It's always fun to have him. Today he's giving out some awards of his own. Jim, welcome back.
Thanks. And I kind of didn't time that well. I just wanted to mention Maxine Waters. You know who she is. She's not far from you. She's there in the L.A. area.
Yes, she's that blithering idiot who poses as a congresswoman.
Well, exactly. And she says, I am a strong black woman, and I cannot be intimidated. I cannot be undermined. I cannot be thought to be afraid of Bill O'Reilly or anybody. Really, Bill O'Reilly?
I'm not sure Bill O'Reilly ever even wasted much time on her. Not that he's even been around in the last year.
Well, and why would you be afraid of him? However, she didn't attend the president's inauguration. Perhaps she was afraid not of the conservatives, but of her liberal friends. If she were to show up, then maybe she was afraid of what they would think of her. If she showed some respect for the office, whether she doesn't like the man, you still respect the office. But for whatever reason, she in her stand of strength and determination didn't show up for one of the most important things that happens in our
country.
Well,
she's sure in the right state, California.
Yeah, I say there. Well, we're going to go back to that again. Award for editing. This would go to Hillary's 30,000 emails left on the cutting room floor.
That's perfect. That's perfect. I was wondering what you were going to do for that one.
Oh, well, there you go. You know, you have to cut something out, okay? You know, 30,000 emails compared to the, 18 minutes that Nixon, you know, they basically ran him out of office for that, right? You know, I don't know. It's a crazy world.
Yep.
Okay, you're going to love this one. Best performance in a horror film.
Oh, I can't wait.
Nancy Pelosi's reaction to the president's State of the Union address.
Oh, yeah, they kept having those close-ups on her. It did look pretty horrifying.
Yeah, she looked like in the old silent films, you know, with the woman who's terrified from the monster. And what a great performance.
Yeah, and
Nancy.
When he had two African-American families stand up whose daughters were victims of murders from illegal immigrants, it was like the Democrats were like, gee, do we rise because they're African Americans or sit because they're trying to make a political calculation. It was disgusting to watch.
You know, when those kind of things happen, I wonder why people think that Donald Trump is dumb. He knows just what
he's doing. Oh, I know. He played them like a fine violin that night.
Yeah, and I saw a clip, it made the rounds, of someone on the Democrat side of the aisle at one point. All the Republicans stood up and cheered for something, and the guy, he started to stand up and somebody tugged on his coat and pulled him back into his seat.
I missed that. That I did not see.
Yeah. It's like, well, you know, we're open, we're tolerant, and we want to reach across the aisle, sit down and shut up.
Yeah, they're about as tolerant as a termite with a degree of cement.
Did you just make that up?
On the cuff. I could have done better if I'd had more time to think about it.
Okay. Best fantasy. This would go to the hashtag MeToo movement for refusing to call out Bill Clinton, one of the greatest womanizers in our country's history, and they're just silent. They're chasing everybody. They want to crucify anybody who has been abusive, and I think it's wrong that those things have happened. But why don't they want to talk about Bill?
Yeah, well, some of them are starting to now that Hillary lost and they've had a year trying to contest it and it hasn't worked. But while Hillary still had a chance, they were not going to go after Bill. While Bill was in office, they were not going to go after Bill.
No, and I know that there were people that really didn't want him even in the public scene because they felt that he hurt her chances. And there probably is some truth to that. But I think she's got enough corruption of her own. She didn't need Bill.
Oh, no kidding. No kidding.
Yeah. Okay. And then finally, the Best Silent Film Award goes to the mainstream media for their absolute refusal to mention any of Trump's obvious achievements.
Yeah, and their absolute refusal to go after any of Obama's scandals. Did you hear Obama's speech last week where he says he was proud of the fact that during his 8 years in office, there were no scandals?
Yeah.
I guess he forgot about Benghazi, Fast and Furious, the IRS, his downright lies. If you like your doctor, you can keep him. Yeah, those weren't scandals at all, were they?
Well, not when you rewrite history as easily as can be done these days. And so those are my awards, folks, for this year.
Well, we'll have to make this an annual tradition, Jim.
Okay.
Now, we got to come up with a nice name. What are we, the Barrier Awards? Oh, no. How about the Jimmy Awards? There you go.
How about the Raspberry Awards?
Well, no, they already have. They already do Raspberry Awards for worst movies.
Yeah.
And worst acting.
Well, we'll come up with something by next year or whatever the next award show. They only have award shows about once a month. So,
Is it that seldom? I thought it was more often than that.
I think there should be an award for the best award show. Maybe there is.
And I used to, with my drama background, I have always liked and appreciated awards. I'll still go home and watch a recording of the Academy Awards tonight, even though I'll just grimace when they're doing all the political stuff. But, with all the affirmative action now and the Academy starting to come out and saying we have to, nominate a certain number of African Americans, there's award contests now for books and novels. I've won a couple of them, but I'm looking at some of the new rules and contests. Nothing's going to win if they don't mention transgenders. I mean, nothing is sacred anymore. It's just completely invaded the arts, and it makes me far less excited about awards.
Me too. And what I will do is tomorrow I'll just go online and I'll look at a list of who won. And I don't even think I want to watch any of the clips because it kind of stirs up some anger in me, and I don't need any help getting angry about things.
And it's too bad because occasionally there is a good movie like The Darkest Hour. That guy that played Churchill, he certainly deserves to win Best Actor. I hope he does. They
Gary
should
Oldman.
Give him Best Showman should win some kind of award, or Greatest Showman it was called.
Yeah.
That's only nominated for Best Song. But, I do like to root for my favorites. But, it gets spoiled with all the political nonsense.
So I'm with you on that. But I'll check tomorrow and see who won. But I'm not going to watch any of the acceptance speeches. I'm not going to watch, all of their politicizing things, which is that's happened for a long time in Oscar history, really. We'll get to that on the next page.
Yeah. All right. We'll be right back with Jim Barrier. This is Bob Segal. Looking for a church? Maybe not. Perhaps you've had your fill of churches. Maybe you even grew up in the church. Maybe as a kid you were dragged to Sunday school against your will. Maybe you used to throw spit wads as Mrs. Pumpernickel tried desperately to interest you in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. You may have grown up listening to long sermons, anxiously looking at your watch to see how much of the game you were missing at home on TV as the pastor made his 97th point. Or perhaps you were not raised as a Christian at all. Instead, you have merely encountered Christians. Maybe some obnoxious personality tried to shove the gospel down your throat using all the tact of a lawnmower in a barber shop. Well, my friend, perfect Christians don't exist because perfect people don't exist. That's why Jesus died for our sins. So I'm not going to tell you that the people of Skyline Church are perfect. I'm just going to tell you that we come real close. No, actually, you'll just find people who struggle with life the same as you. But we're honest about the struggle, and we help each other with the struggle. What you will find is a church that takes the love of Jesus Christ seriously. After all, his message is one of mercy and inclusion, and we don't need 97 points to talk about God. Ask anybody. Our sermons have never made more than 96 points. Skyline Church at 94 in Hamishaw, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. back to the Bob Siegel Show. We'll bring Jim Barrier back on in just a minute. But first, a couple of comments about this ongoing discussion with Oprah saying she will run for president if God calls her. Tim on Facebook asks me a question. Now, Tim, of course, has called this program many times, challenging religious claims. So he asks this question somewhat facetiously. He says, if God does tell her to run, is there any duty for believers to vote for her? Well, Tim, of course not. Anybody can claim they heard from God. While we do not immediately accuse the person of being mentally ill, we do evaluate what was said in light of God's established word and whether or not their claimed positions on issues agree with Scripture. For example, Oprah claims to be for abortion, a standard which not only violates the Bible, but any honest human conscience created by God, a conscience that's supposed to cherish life. Now, I don't expect any politician to 100% line up with the Bible. And when we vote, our choices are limited. So this has nothing to do with who we might vote for or vote against. But if, for example, Oprah or anybody went even farther and said, God told me that I need to run for president for the reason of protecting a woman's right to have an abortion, well, I would respond to a statement like that, and I would say, sorry, it is simply impossible that God said that to you. Impossible. Now, another Bible skeptic whom I have dialogued with before, Michael, says that if God tells her to accept slavery and accept women needing to be silent in the churches, we will know she heard from the God of the Bible, since the Bible supports those ideas. Well, it's a very smug comment. How sad to see such smugness from one who has given the Bible only a cursory review, who has failed to read certain passages in their proper context, and who could, with just a minimal amount of study, learn that the Bible actually teaches the equality of men and women and taught it far ahead of its time. But in those days, the ancient churches were structured like the ancient synagogues, where women sat on one side and men sat on the other. It's because the women were now being educated, which they hadn't been before, that they were asking their husbands questions in church. This was the context. Paul was specifically referring to women asking their husbands questions, and to ask them, they had to shout across the room. His concern was an orderly church service. He didn't want them shouting across the room, so he told them to be silent. But in that same letter, the letter of Corinthians, he talked about women praying and prophesying in the church. A prophet was one of the authoritative offices of this church. This same Bible does not condone slavery. It condemns slavery in three different places in the New Testament. But while the apostles called for the freedom of slaves, they did not want Christianity to become a violent revolution. Thus, the command to be understood in context, slaves, obey your masters. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
Hey there, and I have mentioned this before on the show, but for anyone who has seriously wants to investigate those issues, the first university in the United States to graduate black people or women, Afro-Americans we have to say now, or women, was Oberlin College. The president was a man named Charles Grandison Finney. Charles Finney.
He was also an abolitionist. Yeah.
That's where the abolitionist movement came from. He preached against slavery. And so the truth is, if you do your homework, you're going to find out that believers and Christians and the teaching of the scripture have probably led to more good things than all of the rote pat answers where, the wars are all started by religions. I had someone tell me that the other day. Every war was started by religious movement.
Oh, like the Nazis, the godless Nazis, yeah, and the godless Russian communists.
Yeah, and World War One, World War Two, the Korean War, Vietnam, the Civil War, the Spanish-American War. I remember reading about those wars in history class in school. I don't remember those being attributed to religious wars. But anyway, people say things because they hear someone say it, and it sounds good. Now, where were we?
I think we had wrapped up the awards.
Yes. Now, 15 years ago, at the Academy Awards, the Oscar for Best Director went to one Roman Polanski.
Yes.
He was not able to accept the award. He was
pretty much known as a rapist when they gave him that award, didn't they?
Well, yeah, you beat me to the punchline. See, he was not in town, and so Harrison Ford... Yeah,
conveniently not in town.
Yeah, and there was a thunderous standing ovation, and the reason Mr. Polanski could not be there was because he had fled the country because he had been arrested and charged with 5 counts against a 13-year-old, including rape by use of drugs, perversion, sodomy, lewd and lascivious act upon a child under 14, and furnishing a controlled substance to a minor. That was Roman Polanski, and he got a standing ovation.
Yeah, the hypocrisy is just amazing out of Hollywood.
Yeah, I don't think they were holding up signs and said hashtag me too.
Yeah, and yet now they're all jumping on the anti-Harvey Weinstein bandwagon. And yet, just a few years ago, Jimmy Kimmel was making jokes about Harvey Weinstein as if what he did was public knowledge. Now, all of a sudden, they're acting like, oh, I was shocked. I was flabbergasted. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah, the temptation to go with the political correctness and to go with the flow of what everybody is telling you you should think, it's just pervasive right now in our culture. So that's what happened at the Oscars 15 years ago. Now, we are inundated right now. Scandals have rocked the tabloids. And tabloid is the word we used to use, folks, for fake news. And it generally was just the little magazine that was on the rack in the grocery store when you went through the aisle. But now tabloids have big names, long historic names. They were once legitimate news agencies who reported things factually without bias. And I think most of the mainstream news media has kind of started to become like the tabloids. You report things so you can sell, you know, headlines sell. If you've got something scandalous, people love that. And so we're just being inundated with these things. And it's horrible, some of the things. Harvey Weinstein, you mentioned him, Matt Lauer, Nick Carter for the Teeny Boppers, Charlie Rose, Al Franken for the Liberals, Roy Moore for the Conservatives, Jeffrey Tambor, Dustin Hoffman, my gosh, one of my favorite actors ever, Kevin Spacey. And, you know, they don't know what to do with Kevin because his thing was for making advances in inappropriate behavior with other young men. And so they don't know, what do we do now?
Yeah, especially since they're thinking in 5 years that can be called beautiful.
So I'm just saying it's overwhelming right now with these things. And I want to talk when we come back about the difference between seeking justice and seeking punishment.
Okay, the difference between justice and punishment. We'll be right back. Bob Siegel. Buying or selling a home? Feeling overwhelmed? Facing what seems like unlimited choices? Believe me, your first and most important step is to find the right person to represent you and look out for your interests. Somebody who will help you save money while buying or make money for you when you sell. So listen carefully as I offer the best housing advice you're ever going to hear. What you want to do is contact Realty Executives All Area. And you want to ask for my good friend, Fred Falduti. Fred has managed literally hundreds of real estate transactions in the San Diego area and has handled just about any scenario you can imagine. Believe me, folks, you don't want to navigate the landmines of this economy without a skilled and experienced guide. But Fred is so much more. He will look after your interests as if they were his own. Give him a call or contact him online. Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area. 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com.
Check out this reader's comment about Bob Siegel's book, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, but Mr. Siegel's book was like no other I've ever read on the subject. He does not attack the skeptic for his views. He respects the belief of his readers. I highly recommend this book to anyone who's ever had questions or confusion about Christianity. And here's another reader's comment. I come from a Muslim, atheist background, but it still carried weight with me. I normally pass books on to friends when done reading them. This one, I'm holding on to for a while. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, but available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay, we have one more segment with my good friend Jim Barrier. Go ahead, Jim.
Let's see what we can get in here. Now, one of my favorite films didn't win any Oscars as far as I know. It should have. I felt it was a horrible, horrible thing that Val Kilmer was not even nominated to play Doc Holliday in the movie Tombstone. And I love his character. I love that movie. And there's a line.
He did a phenomenal job. I thought he had been nominated, but I might be thinking of Dennis Quaid from Wyatt Earp.
Yeah.
They both came out at the same time.
Val didn't even get a nod.
Yeah, and he was certainly the best. He was the best part of that movie, for sure.
Oh, he was great. And there's a scene now when he and Wyatt and the few people that have banded with them are going after Curly Bill and his gang, and one of the guys says to Doc, you know, well, if you killed my brother, I'd want revenge too. And Doc says, make no mistake, it's not revenge he's after. It's a reckoning.
Right,
and,
right.
And there was insight there, I've tried to teach this over the years. There is a big difference between revenge and justice. And many Christians misunderstand this. They get the notion that God killed Jesus because he was angry and he had to take it out on somebody. It was not revenge, it was public justice. There had to be sanction, and God kept his own law and found a way to be merciful and just at the same time. And what's happening right now in this movement, I fear that there is more revenge behind the motive than people really wanting justice. People are angry, and they should be. If a woman has been abused, or a young man for that matter, has been abused or mistreated or in any way like this violated, that is a horrible thing. It's a horrific thing, and there needs to be justice. But what we're doing now, we have moved, we've done a 180. Now, you are guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah, exactly. Like, for instance, when you were listing that list of public figures that have been accused, most of them have confessed to what they did.
Yeah.
I know that Judge Roy Moore has not confessed, and he may still very well be guilty. I know you and I both spent some time talking about that.
Yeah, we've talked about
it. He may be, and there were certain things he said that didn't seem to line up to me, but he does claim still that he's innocent, and we still have to say that we don't know.
Yeah, and Bill Clinton claimed he was innocent. He pounded his fist on the podium and looked in the camera and said, "I did not." And so it's rare for someone to come right out and say, "Yeah, I did it."
I think we have to first define sex.
I think there's an awful lot of just assuming guilt right now, and a woman can come out 20 years later and make an accusation. Didn't say a word for 20 years, and now she comes out. And there doesn't have to be any evidence that you can't prove it. There is no evidence that she.
And there'll be a book deal and a movie deal.
Yeah, and so I think it's really kind of swung way out of control that anybody could say anything. And there's another movie. We're on movie night, so there's another great line from a film that I enjoyed. Demi Moore in G.I. Jane. Remember the film?
I did see G.I. Jane. I don't remember liking it particularly, but I did see it.
It had its moments. particularly when she shaved her head off. I thought that was bold.
that was.
But there's a line. She's kind of been put up for this thing by a senator played by Anne Bancroft, Senator DeHaven, and they're having a conversation. And Jordan O'Neill, Demi's character, says to the senator, accusations seem to be enough. You taught me that. And that's the way it is in politics and in Hollywood and in our culture. Once there's an accusation made, the damage is done.
Yeah, that's a pretty sobering line. Accusations seem to be enough.
Yeah, and often they are. All too often they are. And I think that's part of the problem we're facing right now. And so I'm greatly concerned. I don't know how you bring justice in these things. If someone comes out and confesses, well, then that pretty much wraps it up. But if it's a he said, she said, man, that's dangerous ground to get in. It's hard to sort those things out. And I feel bad for the one person, celebrity, who has been falsely accused and now judged by society who happens to be innocent. Even in murder cases, they can use DNA testing and they can go back and correct some things. And we always say, what a tragedy. The person spent all those years in jail and they were innocent. On these things, on accusations alone, there's no way to prove the guilt or innocence. And I think we take a great risk. The same thing's going on right now. I know you don't follow sports as much as I do, but last month on Super Bowl Sunday, we talked about sports. There are scandals going on all over in the world of college basketball. The timing couldn't be better because next week they'll start the tournament, the selection for the Final Four tournament. And there are all of these schools now. Sadly, San Diego State University was one of the ones where they've had recruiting violations and kids or their families have been given money or shoes or food or some sort of thing to get them to come attend that particular school, and it's just rocking the whole sports world. And again, it's going to be very hard. Some of them they can prove, some of them they have hard facts and hard evidence, but the common thing here is this bloodthirst that the media and the American people seem to have. We want to see people punished. We want to see them go down. We knew they were dirty all along. And it's what I hear, in my mind, I hear them yelling, crucify him, crucify him. The same crowd that a week ago yelled, Hosanna, Hosanna. And that's what we're doing now. We're taking all of these, whether they're movie heroes or sports heroes, and there is some perverse thing, I think, that exists culturally where we want to see people taken down. And that bothers me, Bob.
Very legitimately.
I want to quote one scripture, Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. That's what I'd like to close with tonight.
Thank you, my friend. Always good to have you, and we'll look forward to having you next month.
All righty.
Ladies and gentlemen, I mentioned the subject of abortion briefly tonight, but if you're out there and you're a woman and you've had an abortion, I want you to know that our purpose is not to condemn, but to forgive. And my wife, substitute hosted for me last week, did a phenomenal show talking about healing and forgiveness for abortion. It's posted to my website, bobsiegel.net. So if any of that quick talk about abortion tonight triggered anything, I want to recommend that you listen to that show. I will see you next week.
Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Bob Siegel.